The third step involves reinforcing the incentive. Over time, any incentive wears out. Just as your date may tire of even the finest restaurant, the prospective customer may show fatigue with the same repeated incentive. The permission marketer must work to reinforce the incentive to be sure that the attention continues. This is surprisingly easy. Because this is a two-way dialogue, not a narcissistic monologue, the marketer can adjust the incentives being offered and fine-tune them for each prospect. Along with reinforcing the incentive, the fourth step is to increase the level of permission the marketer receives from the potential customer. Now, I won't go into detail on what step of the dating process this corresponds to, but in marketing terms, the goal is to motivate the consumer to give more and more permission over time. Permission to gather more data about the customer's personal life or hobbies or interests. Permission to offer a new category of product for the customer's consideration. Permission to provide a product sample. The range of permission you can obtain from a customer is very wide and limited only by its relevance to the customer. Finally, over time, the marketer uses the permission he's obtained to change consumer behavior. That is, get them to say, "I do." In other words, the fifth and final step is to leverage your permission into a profitable situation for both of you. Remember, you have access to the most valuable thing a customer can offer: attention. Nothing good is free, and that goes double for permission. Acquiring solid, deep permission from targeted customers is an investment. What's a permission worth? According to their annual report, AOL has paid as much as $300 to get one new customer. American Express invests nearly $150 to get a new cardholder. Does American Express earn enough in fees to justify this expense? Not at all. But the other benefits associated with acquiring the permission to market to a card member outweigh the high cost. Amex sells its customers a wide range of products, not just an American Express card. They also use sophisticated database management tools to track customer behavior so they can tailor offers to individuals. They leverage their permission to increase revenue. Permission marketing isn't as glamorous as hiring Steven Spielberg to direct a commercial starring a bevy of supermodels. It isn't as easy as running an ad a few more times. It isn't as cheap as building a website and hoping that people find it on a search engine. In fact, it's hard work. Worst of all, permission marketing requires patience. Permission marketing campaigns grow over time, the opposite of what most marketers look for these days. And permission marketing requires a leap of faith. Even a bad interruption campaign gets some results right away, while a permission campaign requires infrastructure and a belief in the durability of the permission concept long before it blossoms with success. But unlike interruption marketing, permission marketing is a measurable process. It evolves over time for every company that uses it. It becomes an increasingly valuable asset. The more you commit to permission marketing campaigns, the better they work over time. And these fast-moving, leverageable processes are the key to success in our cluttered age. Permission marketing takes advantage of new technology better than other forms of marketing. The internet is the greatest direct mail medium of all time, and the low cost of frequent interaction makes it ideal for permission marketing. The leverage that it brings to this new medium, combined with the pervasive clutter that infects the internet and virtually every other medium, makes permission marketing the most powerful trend in marketing for the next decade. As new forms of media develop and clutter becomes ever more intense, it's the asset of permission that will generate profits for marketers.